KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee, weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.
As we are wont to do often at this time, we discuss prophecy and eschatology. Right, Jeff?
That's exactly right. Today I thought what we'd do is examine the prophecies of Daniel. Now, Daniel was in captivity along with the rest of the Hebrew people, and he'd been pondering over the writings of the prophet Jeremiah and the promises of a 70-year captivity. And this pondering, as you probably know, led him to prayer. And in the midst of that prayer, the angel Gabriel came to him with some new prophecy. And like Daniel, we also study prophecy to understand God's purposes in history. And to help us with this discussion, we have with us David Eales. He's founder of Unleavened Bread Ministries. And David, we had a listener who recommended you to our program. And so please welcome to KKMS Live.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Well, how did you get interested in biblical prophecy, and what process do you use to really understand prophecy?
Well, I guess I got interested years ago when I was, about 35 years ago, when I was in a church that they were in an argument over pre- and post-tribulation. And so I began to examine the scriptures on both sides, and that was the first time I got a word of knowledge from the Lord.
When I hear word of knowledge, what does that mean? What do you hear? How does that? How do you know it's a word of knowledge as opposed to just a stray thought?
Well, I'll tell you how it happened to me. I was sitting on my couch, and I was looking at the two sets of scriptures, and I said, "Lord, I don't understand. I know that your word doesn't contradict itself." And then all of a sudden, it was like knowledge was just put in my head. I didn't have to assimilate it. It was just there. And I jumped up and ran in the other room, told my wife, I says, "I understand it. The Lord showed me." You know, big contradiction, you know, but the Lord had showed me. So now, it was a big help from there on. That's how I first got interested. But I had everything figured out, you see, and I was all wrong. See, so I learned from that you better just shut up and let the Lord talk.
Well, we understand that completely, believe you me. We're on 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and we try to get out of his way as much as we possibly can. Not always
some people
successful.
Do wish we'd just shut up.
Yeah. That's why we have guests on. But, okay, so David, now, when you get this word of knowledge and all of a sudden you understand things you didn't, is there a way of testing that so you know that it is accurate in what you've come to learn and understand?
Yes, there is, and I don't believe God will ever speak anything to you that can't be absolutely proven by the sum of his words. You know, David said, "The sum of thy words is truth," and people like to pick little bits and pieces and say, "Ha-ha, got the truth," you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if there's so many other verses that don't fit, then it's not the truth, and when God proves it to you, he can prove it from one end of the Bible to the other.
Right. Now, you talked about concerning the pre- and post-trib and that. Where do you come down on your studies and what you've read?
Well, I'd be glad to explain it to you.
Yep, that's why we
that's
get
why
you
we have
show.
You on the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if anybody disagrees with me out there, that's okay, too, because, you know, we're just going to stay in the unity of the faith until we come until we come to the unity of the faith, right?
Right.
Amen.
So, I mean, that's what Ephesians teaches us. So if I'm wrong, okay, you pray for me, okay? but I don't think I'm wrong.
Sure, right.
And I'll just explain to you the simplest way I know how to do it. It'll take me a few minutes, but I believe I can show you exactly when the rapture happens. I mean, to the day, as a matter of fact. In 1 Thessalonians 4, most of you already know, the Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we that are alive and that are left shall be together with them caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we see here that what most of you already believe, and that is that there is a resurrection and a rapture at the same time. And there's a reason for that, because the Bible teaches that the Lord is going to conquer death.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point right there is when the Lord conquers death. And 1 Corinthians 15 also gives us a confirmation of the resurrection and the rapture happening at the same time. In verse 51, it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed." In other words, everybody's not going to die, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
Mm-hmm.
"For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So there we have it again, another confirmation, rapture and resurrection of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the rapture does happen here at the last trump, which Revelation 11 and 15 tells us is the time when the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Savior, Jesus. Now, if we find out when the resurrection happens, we'll find out when the rapture happens. And this will be a very important point. I believe we can prove that they both happen at the same time from two different directions with two different confirmations. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 21, it says, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Remember this part here. Mm-hmm. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. So he's talking about the resurrection of the dead here. And he tells you, Christ is the first fruits of those that are resurrected, and then those that are shall be made alive when he comes again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. So at that particular time, then cometh the end. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when we shall be delivered up, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule, all authority, and all power, for he must reign until he hath put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be abolished is death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For he must put all things in subjection under his feet. So we see here that the Lord is going to conquer everything. Up unto the last enemy, which is death. Now, some people don't understand that the Lord, throughout history, has conquered the beast and the harlot before he comes to this point. You know, throughout history, God has had this same sequence of events. They're more spiritually seen than physically seen, but they're the same series of events. So, now we see that the last enemy to be abolished is death, which the rapture and the resurrection does. It abolishes death for God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if you go to Acts chapter 2 and 34, it says, for David ascended not into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Wow, we're seeing something here that the Lord is going to be sitting right there on the throne next to the Father until the Father makes all of his enemies the footstool of his feet. Meaning, of course, when the Lord comes back, it's the time of the last enemy being conquered, which is death, which
right.
is the rapture and the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to Acts chapter 3, he tells you, repent ye therefore, verse 19, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ, who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restoration of all. And, of course, things, there is no Greek word things, and the rule of thumbs when you come across the word things in the Greek is if it doesn't fit the text, you throw it out because there is no such word. Okay? So watch this. On whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restoration of all. The restoration of all who? All of the saints. He's talking about all of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the Lord comes back, he's going to do quite a bit of destruction, not restoring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But he's also coming back for God's people, and he will have restored all. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's on his throne. He is not coming back until the time of the resurrection and the rapture. Now, that's what it's saying, very plainly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, it says, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh. Or actually, cometh is not in there either. It's in italics. Then the end. They that are Christ that is coming, then the end. It's is what it says, okay? So listen carefully. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ is coming. That's only one more resurrection of the righteous dead. Are you noticing that? One more resurrection of the righteous dead is all it gives us. Now, there's two more resurrections we know from Revelation, but there's only one more resurrection of the righteous dead. If you find out where that is, you find out where the rapture is, because they happen together. We have two witnesses of that, or many more witnesses, but I only shared two witnesses. But anyway, if you find out where this resurrection is, you find out where the rapture is. And there's only one left, and guess what? It has to be the last enemy to be conquered. That is, of course, the last enemy to be conquered for God's people. You know that any time the rapture happens, they don't have any more earthly enemies anymore, right?
Right.
Praise God. So if we can find out when this one more resurrection is, we will know when the rapture is. Now, this might disturb some of you, but if you go to Revelation chapter 20, we have the witness of John, who in 96 A.D., you may disagree with that date, but it doesn't matter. Whatever date you have is fine. He looked down the road into the future, and he saw the first resurrection. The first resurrection would be the first one between him and the end, okay? Watch. If you start in Revelation 20 and verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worshipped not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand, and they lived." Aha, here's a resurrection or a rapture, or obviously both, okay? Mm-hmm. "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then this should be in parenthesis, because it takes time out to talk about the next resurrection. He says, "But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years should be finished." Okay, then he goes back to talking about what he was saying. Mm-hmm. This is the first resurrection. So you got John looking from 96 A.D. to the end, mm-hmm. all the way through the book of Revelation to the end. And he says, the first resurrection are those people who didn't worship the beast.
Yep.
And didn't receive his mark,
mm-hmm.
and overcame through the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, they lived through this whole time and came up to the first resurrection, which we have just proven is the rapture. The rapture and the resurrection happen at the same time, and here it is. Okay, since we only have one resurrection left for the righteous, mm-hmm. we've got one for the wicked, one for the right. We've got one left. When does it have to come? I ask you this question. Most people, when they think about this, they say, "Oh yeah, well, it can't come anywhere else than right there at the last enemy, because if you have a resurrection at the beginning of the tribulation period, what's going to happen to all the saints who died during the tribulation period?" Well, I can tell you what's going to happen to them. They'll never get resurrected, because there's only one more, and it has to be at the end in order to fit all the saints in.
Mm-hmm.
See, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9 says, "After these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, out of every nation, tribe, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried," so on and so forth. Now, John is asked, "Who are these people?" Well, he says in verse 14, "I say unto him, Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they that come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So these people would never get resurrected. These people that come out, these tribulation saints, would never be resurrected if there's only one resurrection left, and it happens at the beginning of the tribulation period.
Okay,
they have to stay in their grave. See? Now, the truth is, the one resurrection and the one rapture have to happen as the last enemy is conquered, not before the beast and the harlot of the tribulation are conquered. They have to come after that, because that's the last enemy to be conquered. Truthfully, what God wants to conquer is he wants to conquer the beast and the harlot in us.
Let's come back and talk more. Let's come back and talk more details about that. We're talking with David Eales. He's founder of Unleavened Bread Ministries. We'll come back and talk specifically about some of the things in the book of Daniel. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call here at 651-289-4499. If you want to contribute to the conversation, make comments, whatever, feel free to join the discussion.
Love to have you on board, or email in KKMSlive at KKMS.com. And links for David's website are up at KKMS.com.
Now, back to KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee.
I like you guys. You guys got a good show.
AM 980 KKMS, more spirited talk radio. This is KKMS Live, weekdays from 3 to 6. You can listen online at KKMS.com, and resources for the program, including links to our guests and topics of discussion, are all there at KKMS.com. Just click on the KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee link.
That's right. We're talking with David Eales. He's founder of Unleavened Bread Ministries, talking about end times prophecies, talking about biblical prophecies. We're going to get into discussions specifically regarding Daniel. And you were covering your beliefs regarding a post-tribulation rapture. And rapture is one of those things where if you think this and I think that, you know, so what? You know, I mean, it's fascinating to discuss, but it's not the kind of thing that's going to save us. It's not a one of those basic tenets of the church or whatever. But it is interesting to hear the discussion about why people arrive at the conclusions that they do reach, and so it's fascinating what you talk about here, and gives us those, like I, for example, believe, but I can't really defend it because I'm learning some of this eschatology. I'm relatively new to it myself, but I tend to believe in a pre-trib, but obviously I don't care. I shouldn't say I don't care if I'm right, because it's sure a lot easier if you get raptured before the tribulation. So maybe, you know, but anyway, that's fascinating how you break that down. So anyway,
well, I think I can show from the scriptures exactly. Now, some people say no, you can't, because Jesus said no man knoweth the day. Yes, but I can, and the scripture tells us how. Okay,
okay.
Exactly when the rapture is going to happen and the resurrection of the dead. Now, I'm talking about in relationship to the tribulation period.
Right.
One thing Jesus said. He said it three times. He said it between verse 39 and verse 44 of John chapter 6. He said, I will raise him up at the last day. Now, remember what we saw in 1 Corinthians 15 and 23, that at that resurrection, then the end. That's when the end comes, right there. Not 7 years before the end. And now Jesus is not saying here that I will raise him up 7 years before the last day. He says, I'm going to raise him up at the last day. And we all have the witness also of Job. Job said in 14 and 12, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be roused out of their sleep. So he says it's not going to happen until the heavens be no more. Now, I got to tell you, if the heavens are no more at the beginning of the tribulation period, you're going to have a hard time having a tribulation period. It's real hard to have anything without the heavens, right? Because
right.
One of them, of course, is this heaven that we're, this heaven on our level here, the earthly heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere is one of those heavens. So
mm-hmm.
You'd have a real, real hard time having a tribulation. Now, if we go over to 2 Peter 3, I think I'll start in verse 10. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat. Now, again, if this happens at the beginning of the tribulation, you got a big problem. You can't have a tribulation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, he's saying this is when the resurrection is. There's no resurrection, Job said, until this time right here. None. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God? So we're talking about, again, the coming of the day of God is the time when the heavens pass away. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
By reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So we got two witnesses in this text. Now he's saying the coming of the day of God is when the heavens burn up and the earth burns up, okay,
mm-hmm.
With fervent heat. But we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, if you go with me, I'm going to carry you along a little chain here.
All right.
And by the time we get to the end of this, you're going to know exactly from the scriptures where these things are going to happen. It's very, very important for everything else, because if you don't understand this, none of that stuff that you talk about during the tribulation period is important, right?
Okay.
It's not important. So if we go to Matthew 25, let's say 35, 36, and 37, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." There it is again. "But my words shall not pass away." So if you're not the Word made flesh, as our Lord and Master is, in other words, the Word living in your heart, then you're going to pass away too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only." I want you to notice something here. It says knoweth. That's present tense. When he spoke it, it was present tense. He didn't say nobody would ever know it. He says no one knoweth. That's present tense. Of the day and the hour, or what day and the hour? When the heavens and the earth pass away and the Lord comes. Okay? Not the angels, neither the Son, but only the Father. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on to give us the clue, which is a sign to be read only in our day. This sign can only be read in our day. It could not have been read in their day, so they couldn't have known when the Lord was coming. Okay? It says, "And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man." Okay, now, if he didn't put that in there to tell us when he was coming, why would he put it there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He tells us, matter of fact, that tells us exactly when he's going to come. I mean, the days of Noah, of course, many people liken the days of Noah to the 120 years in chapter 6, but actually the days of Noah are mentioned in chapter 7. Now, I'm not doubting in chapter 26 that 120 years is important, especially if that's 120 jubilee years, because 120 jubilee years would be 6,000 years. And hey, that comes out pretty close, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good too. But we want to look at the days of Noah because they tell us when the Lord's going to come. Okay?
Okay.
So if you go to chapter 7 and verse 4, "For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground. Yet 7 days. Now notice, Noah knew at the beginning of 7 days when to start counting. He knew at the beginning. He didn't know before this.
Mm-hmm.
He only knew at the beginning of the 7 days when to start counting.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, notice he mentioned 7 days and then 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it again in chapter verse 10. "And it came to pass after the 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then if you go down to verse 17, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark." Wow. When were they lifted off of the earth? Well, you see 7 days and 40 days. 7 days and 40 days. That's when you start counting. That gives you the time of the coming of the Lord for his people. Noah's ark is lifting off, okay? Those that are alive and remain in the ark are lifting off of this earth, and it's going through basically a year of the flood.
So you're using the story of Noah in the same way that Jesus talked about, or the Bible talked about, the serpent being lifted on a stick and people not understanding what that meant until Jesus was lifted up on the cross. If you recall, that was teachings. During the fighting, they were to look at, I believe Moses was holding the serpent up on a stick.
Oh, lifting up the pole?
Yeah. And so, in a sense, you're kind of using...
He was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man would be lifted up.
Yeah. And so you're kind of using a similar analogy to the church being lifted up in the way that Noah's ark was lifted up and saved from the flood.
But this is going to be much more specific, because we have two witnesses that come out to the exact same day in the Scriptures of when the rapture and resurrection... Do you know the Bible tells us the exact day of the rapture and resurrection? It tells us very plainly. Watch carefully here. We'll see it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, after 7 days and then 40 days, and the ark lifts off. Well, again, at the beginning of the 7 days, what are these 7 days? They're mentioned many times. Some people think they're only mentioned in Daniel 9 and 27. That's not true. They're mentioned many times. This last 7 days is mentioned many, many times in the scriptures, and it's every type and shadow all point to the same thing. This is the 70th week of Daniel. He will make a covenant with many for one Shabua, which means 1 7. And people say it's 7 days or 7 years, but it just says 1 7, okay? And it is 7 days that are a type of 7 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll look at that in just a minute. But first I want to point out to you here, after that 70th week, that last 7 days, then there's 40 more days that God's people are sitting on the earth with the rain falling around them, and the great waters of the deep broken up and coming up upon the earth until the ark is lifted off. In other words, they sit in this great and terrible day of the Lord for 40 days while the wicked are being destroyed all around them. The Bible says, only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 34 and verse 8 that the day of the Lord is 1 year. It also says it in 66. But the day of the Lord is 1 year. Okay, if you take the time from verse Genesis 7:11 to Genesis 8:14, you come up with a year and 10 days. Okay, now back then their year was 354 days. If you add 10 days to it, you get 365 days.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought it was 360, but anyway.
So if you go back to Genesis 7, and you see that these 7 days are the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years, and that he knew at the beginning of the 7 years. I'm going to show you somebody else that knew, because God gave him the same numbers to count.
Okay, can you hold it right here?
Yeah, we got to hang on for a second, because we'll need to come back. We're up against the clock here a little bit. It is KKMS Live, talking prophecy eschatology. I'm Lee Michaels.
And I'm Jeff Shaw. We're talking with David Eales. He's founder of Unleavened Bread Ministries. His website is America'sLastDays.com. We've got that linked on our website, so in case you I'm not sure how to spell that or can't remember it, go to our website and you'll find the link right there. We've got a caller, if you don't mind.
And let's try to squeeze a phone call in here or two, 651-289-4499. Go to Joel in Oakdale. Hey, Joel, welcome to KKMS Live.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm curious with David if he remembers Revelation 12 about the woman that gives birth, and if he would, for conjecture's sake, be willing to think that that is prophecy going forward, because in my Scofield Bible, it makes it seem like that's Mary and the birth of Christ. But would he be willing to allow, for conjecture's sake, that that could be prophecy going forward?
David, what do you say?
Yes, Revelation 4 and 1.
12.
He says, come up hither, I will show you the things which must come to pass hereafter. And that was something like 96 A.D. So the revelation in Revelation 12 is future. But here's
future.
The thing. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 that the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Meaning, of course, history just keeps repeating. The only thing about history repeating is it repeats with larger and larger groups of people.
Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, you may have started out with a man named Jacob, but by the time the Testament, when he says Jacob, he's talking about a mass of Jacob's seed.
Okay.
And when you started out with the Son of God in a body called Jesus, and by the time the New Testament started, when his blood was poured out, you're now talking about a body of people. Now, that man-child that you read there in Revelation chapter 12 is going to come at the beginning of the tribulation period.
At
it is a ministry, and it is a corporate ministry. It's not an individual. Just like the woman that he is born from, he is corporate. He is not an individual. But I'd like to say one thing. I'm coming to a punchline here that will absolutely confirm what we're looking at here in Genesis chapter 7. Absolutely confirm it to the day. It's astounding.
Okay.
You want me to go ahead and share this?
Yeah. Can I stay with it and then give my opinion on Revelation 12 after that?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure. I didn't want to miss this because what we're seeing in the 7 days and the 40 days is, of course, 2,595 days. 2,595 days from the time the covenant is made, which starts the 7 days, you come to the rapture and the resurrection. Okay? Now, if you go all the way to Daniel chapter 12, you see the same 2,595 days until the rapture resurrection. Okay? Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, and from the time the continual burnt offering shall be taken away. Now, when is that? Well, if we go to Daniel 9 and 27, we see in the midst of the week, the continual burnt offering is taken away. So, when is the midst of the week? Well, if you go to Revelation 12 and 6, notice the numbers, 12 and 6. It tells us there that it's 1,260 days. 12 and 6, 1,260 days. The first 3.5 years is 1,260 days. Okay, so he says, from the time the continual burnt offering is taken away in the midst of the week, that is after 1,260 days. Okay, then you have another 1,260 days. However, in that 1,260 days, what they do is after 6 years, the Jews in that time added 30 days, 30 solar days to correct their lunar calendar. They added 30 days after 6 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you have 1,290 days. So you have 1,260 days and 1,290 days. And in the middle of that is the continual burnt offering being taken away. So let me read the rest of this in Daniel 12. And he says, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, and there shall be 1,290 days. There's the second half of the tribulation period, okay? Okay, but blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So 1,335 days. So here you say, go past the 1,290 days to the point of 1,335 days. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning and count. 1,260 days plus 1,335 days equals 2,595 days, the exact day that the rapture happened according to Noah. Why do I say the rapture happened? Because they were all alive and remained in the ark when it lifted off on day what? 2,590 days. 7 years plus 40 days, 2,590 days. Okay, so we have this witness. 1,260 and 1,335 equals 2,595 days. Now, we got another witness right here, okay? Since the Jews corrected at that time their lunisolar calendar, they corrected it, they solar corrected it, after 6 years, they added 30 days. They did not correct the seventh year until the following 6 years. Okay, so now watch carefully. After the 30 days are added, so you got 1,260 and 1,290, the seventh year is not solar corrected. Now, in Noah's time, God told Noah after 7 days. Do you think God was accurate? Absolutely. He's always very, very accurate. So it was a real 7 days. Now, I want to say something about the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar is great for types and shadows, but it's a lousy form of a calendar. The solar calendar is obviously correct, and they kept correcting the lunar calendar with solar time. Okay, so watch. If we correct the seventh day, which was not corrected in 1,290 days, we have to add 5 days. Okay, so watch. If you add 1,260, 1,290, and 5 days to make it a solar corrected day for the Gentiles, and you add the 40 days that Genesis says to add, you come up again with 2,595 days. You got two witnesses here, you got one witness over there, that the rapture and the resurrection is coming at 2,590 days. And it even, I'm not going to get into this right now, but it even tells you what time the ark returns. Of course, we know the Lord and his saints are coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have time to get into that, but I want to continue with what we're talking about here.
Well, we have to pause because we're up against the clock here. And so let's come back and continue this. We'll keep you on the line, Joel, and you can make your comments after we conclude this.
Back to more of KKMS Live with Jeff.
Basic instructions.
Here we go, AM 980 KKMS, more spirited talk radio. Not much time left in this segment. We're talking about prophecy and eschatology. David Eales is our guest, 651-289-4499. He is the founder of Unleavened Bread Ministries. We do have links at the website at kkms.com. Thank you for staying with us. Also, Joel in Oakdale, patiently waiting through the break. I'm Lee Michaels.
And I'm Jeff Shell. We're learning when the exact date when Jesus will return based on the concept of 70 weeks. So how much longer do we have here, David? Because we have to close in about 5 minutes.
I'll just make a couple more comments, and I'll just open it up to you. How about
sure.
that?
Yep, okay. Yep.
Well, did we notice on both of these guys that we have a sign that can be read in our day? Couldn't have been read in Jesus' day. He said, no man knoweth, present tense. Mm-hmm. That was in Jesus' day, nobody would know. But he's giving us the time when he says, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, we notice that Noah did not know up until the very beginning of the 7 days, when God spoke to him after 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, here's when everybody's going to know when to start counting. At the beginning of the 7 days, everybody's going to know when to start counting. Both Daniel and Noah knew, according to the numbers that God gave them, exactly when the rapture and resurrection was going to come. I didn't read the last verse here in Daniel 12. It says, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. In other words, you're going to die, you're going to resurrect at the end of the days. What? 2,595 days. That's what it's very clearly saying. 1,260, 1,335, 2,595 days. The same day that 7 years and 40 days comes up to in Noah. Both of these guys knew at the beginning of the tribulation when the covenant was made, exactly when the Lord is coming. So, okay, I want to give you some time. Sorry.
No, that was fine.
Thank you for being patient.
Right, so to conclude, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, you're saying that the Lord will come on what day, or what do you mean by all that?
The Lord will come in the great and terrible day of the Lord, it's called. The
yeah.
day of the Lord, mm-hmm. Isaiah 34:8, is 1 year of the wrath of God upon the sinners who mistreated his people for 7 years. Now, people say there's only 7 days. There's not. There is 8 days. There's only 7 days in the 70th week of Daniel to bring in everlasting righteousness. That is to bring in the saints, to bring in those who are full of God, those who are the Word of God lives in. They're coming in. Okay, but there's a year called the wrath of God. Now, that's easy to prove. I mean, Jesus said that after the tribulation of those days, he would appear in the clouds, Matthew 24. But Acts chapter 2 tells us that the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give its light before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, what happens on the day after the tribulation when the Lord comes? The sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light.
Okay.
So you see here, you got 7 years and you got another year that's also a day called the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Okay.
And Noah tells us that is a year too.
All right. Hey, Joel, what else did you want to conclude with?
Well, what I was curious about is, relating back to Revelation 12, is that in the future then, this woman will become pregnant and cry out in pain, and then basically, so once she becomes pregnant, we have to wait 9 months for the baby to be born, then we wait 1,260 days. What happens at the end of those 1,260 days, according to David?
Well, according to Revelation chapter 12, this man-child is caught up to the throne of God.
Okay, and then so what happens? Is that
well, it depends on what you think the throne of God is.
What now?
I say it depends on what you think the throne of God is. I want to point something out to you, that David, Jesus was David, right?
Right.
He came in the anointing of David. He was anointed.
We've got about 2 minutes left.
To rule over Israel, just like David was, right?
Okay.
So, when Jesus was anointed, did he go up to a physical throne, or was he the King of Kings because he sat on the throne of David? The throne of David. Okay? So where is that? The throne of David was to rule on this earth as a leadership for God's people. Jeremiah 3 tells us at that time that Jerusalem will be called the throne of the Lord. Jeremiah 3 and 17, Jerusalem. Now, I'm not talking about physical Jerusalem. I'm talking about what Paul talked about in Hebrews chapter 12. He said, you have come to the heavenly city, Jerusalem. And what did he call it? The spirits of just men made perfect. You see, we're not physical Jews. We're only spiritual Jews. And we have a spiritual kingdom. And we've been grafted into the olive tree, which is called all Israel in Romans chapter 11.
Well, David,
we have an Israel.
David, we need to cut you up because we're up against the clock here.
We got a hard break and we have no control over it. It seems like, I wish we had 1,290 days right now to talk about this, and we'd need that to keep going. We appreciate your contributions and giving us things to think about.
KKMS Live with Jeff and Lee, weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.